charges up by referring to chopping Ashton Kutcher's house in half or something.
What the fuck's going on down there?
Welcome to WTF at TFW. I am Vangelis, and we were just chatting about how funny it would be if Ashton Kutcher were sitting on the roof of his house chucking juice cans at us, and we just went and cut his house down and then stuck the juice cans in him. And that was pretty much how we just got charged up. That, I'm talking about HuluTube. Those of you on YouTube will know what we mean. But that's off topic! With me here today is Gog Dog.
Howdy, people!
And Seth Buzzard.
What's happening?
And once again, surrogate British Drew Iden.
Hello there! I'll just stand over here and smoke my pipe.
Because Drew is busy being a rock star. Rock star. And we're going to talk to you today about Transformers. And we're going to start off with something that I was not expecting to excite me this much, which seems to happen quite often nowadays. It's the Shout G1 DVD release. It seems that it's going to definitely be more than a redux of the Rhino DVDs. In fact, on their forums, the Shout people kind of specifically said that they're not going to make Rhino's mistakes, which I thought was pretty badass. They also said that they used YouTube clips to help them fix up the masters, because apparently a lot of the masters they worked with were kind of, you know, old, and thusly kind of messed up. They also said that the packaging, while it may not be that exciting now, is going to have all kinds of beautiful shiny embossing and foil board to make it pop a little bit more in person. There's a whole list of interesting stuff, but again, the thing that I think a lot of people are going to be the most happy to hear is, aside from them fixing up all the masters that were all busted up and color-correcting whatever they could, they chucked the Rhino audio and made a new stereo track out of the original source mono and nothing else. So you're not going to suddenly have these 21st century, like, kind of sound effects going on. And the bonus features, they said that there was a lot of really boring stuff, interview-style stuff, and they tried to just stick in what they could, and it seems like they really care about what they do, so I'm happy to hear that. I don't know if I'm going to buy these DVDs on the spot, but they're now actually on my list of things that I may eventually pick up. So, Gog, I can't remember, do you have the Rhino G1 DVDs?
I kind of have them, but not in physical form.
Oh, right, because you legally backed them up.
That's right.
You are a pirate.
You are a pirate.
So I guess
you're going to get shot by snipers.
Pachoom, pachoom, yeah. 21st century, I got a cutlass! Oh, I'm dead now. So I guess, Gog, you're a little bit more excited about these than those of us who have the Rhinos already.
Yeah, and the reason... The main reason why I don't have the Rhinos is because to track them down pretty much around this point would cost you several hundred dollars. Which is, I mean, it's fine. But I was always kind of holding... I mean, I knew Rhino's license was up. Originally, after the Sony... the Sony 20th... Was it 20th? Yeah, 20th anniversary release of the 86 movie... you know, they had said that they were going to release the DVDs, and so I held out, you know, waiting for the Sony release, and of course they...
We all know where that
whatever, yeah, whatever, yeah, everybody knows what happened with that. The Sony division that was in, it had the rights to that, went under. Hasbro, I guess, bought back the rights, and now we know what is finally going to happen with those DVD rights. And yeah, I am happy. I'm happy that it isn't just a straight, let's just dump it on DVD, get it out, get off the Revenge of the Fallen hype to try to get some quick cash. I mean, the funny part about this is they actually admitted that they're using, you know, YouTube clips of the original show to help them, you know, remaster stuff. And
yeah,
I don't know. It's fun. It is kind of humorous, but they are going to great lengths to find the source material any way they can to make sure that this is the best that it can be. So I'm happy about it. I'm going to get it. You know, it's maybe it's not going to have the best special features in the world, but it's definitely a whole lot better than it could have been.
And Seth, I forgot. Do you have? I only remember that Drew has the Rhino ones. Do you have the Rhino ones?
Well, Drew has some of the Rhino ones. He doesn't have all three seasons.
Oh, yeah.
I do have all three seasons. And some of them I haven't taken the shrink wrap off of, so they're more valuable. Yeah, so I'm all rhinoed up. I had no intention whatsoever of getting the Shout Factory ones just because, like, I haven't taken the wrap off all the Rhino ones yet, let alone thought about buying everything again. Mm-hmm. But the more details that come out about what Shout Factory's doing, the more appealing it sounds. So I'm going to be kind of hemming and hawing over this deal, see how it goes. So I may or may not get them. I haven't made up my mind yet, but they're starting to convince me that maybe I do want to get them.
If it helps at all, you're actually in a better position than me, because if your Rhino ones are still shrink-wrapped, you could technically try to sell them, whereas mine are all open and banged up and used, even though I barely watched Season 2. So I'm kind of stuck with mine, and I kind of want to buy these, but I'm thinking of waiting until they've got more of the seasons out than seeing if they do some kind of, like, the series box.
There was already something mentioned on the front page of TFW. I was a little confused when I read it because just of the way it was of the press release was worded. But they said that there, from what I understood, it seemed like there was going to be the individual season releases, and then there was going to be a Transformers the complete series.
Oh. Yes, there is.
And it was going to have separate bonus features, which that kind of bums me out because it's like,
yeah.
Just give me the special features. I don't want to have to buy two sets of this stuff. So, but I was a little confused as to whether the complete series has everything or if it's going to have if both of them are going to have stuff that's separate to each version.
Yeah, because, like,
I didn't understand it.
The special features look like they're going to be the kind of thing that I can live with or without, so since they are, actually, yeah, I just read up here that they just haven't press released it yet, but they've basically said they will be doing complete series sets. I'd rather wait for that, if only because I already got the whole series on Rhino, so I don't want to replace it in pieces. I'd rather just replace it in one big, probably overspending on Boxing Day kind of deal.
Yeah, I would be more likely to do the same and get the whole thing in one big box, but I'm just the threat that the special features are going to be different between the full set and the individual seasons is it. I can't stand that. It's so maddening when they do crap like that. Like a movie comes out in theaters, then it comes out on DVD, and the special features, you look at the back of the box, and the special features will be like subtitles, Spanish language track, interactive menus, and it's
hooray!
Like, yeah, oh, interactive menus,
I could play. This is awesome.
And then 4 or 5 months later, now it's almost Christmas time, and like some awesome 3-disc version has come out with commentaries and deleted scenes and vignettes out the ying, and I can't stand it when they do that.
And I mean, they wouldn't do it if nobody bought it. So, I mean, if people keep buying it, they're still going to make them. I usually just buy. I've gotten to the point now to where I almost boycott the special editions unless it has something really awesome. I get the first release, $15 from Walmart, and then call it a day.
Full screen.
Yeah, well, I remember when Chasing Amy was coming out on DVD on Kevin Smith's website. He told people, like, okay, this first release is going to have nothing on it. If you want all the extra stuff, wait. Because there's going to be a better version.
Yeah, for the Criterion.
And I was like, awesome. He's telling everybody not to buy it.
A little end cap on this one, actually, just on how cruel this can be. Anyone who's into Buffy the Vampire Slayer, I know my brother is, can attest that they released all the seasons on DVD. Then they released the big, like, 80-disc or whatever full series box with one bonus disc containing a new round table discussion. I was like, wow. That is, like, the best way, because since it's Joss Whedon, there are going to be hardcore completionists, and they're like, oh, yeah, just buy the whole thing, and you'll get this bonus disc. Let's just move on from there to what we've seen today, that being our new picks. Let's start off with Seth.
Yo. Kind of going off the format for this one. But our old pal, Derek J. Wyatt, you can follow him on Twitter, at DJ Wyatt. Is that, that's his Twitter? Is it DJ Wyatt?
No, it's Derek J. Wyatt.
Or Derek J. Wyatt, full name.
It should be the
full
DJW.
Name.
But.
Twitter / Derek J. Wyatt. Well, something that I don't think a lot of people know about him, and I'm surprised it's not on his TF Wiki, is when he's not working, he goes down to Jamaica, and he's fairly well known in the dance hall scene, where he goes by the name the DJ Dubba Dubba, and he does a lot of ska, spins a lot of ska discs. But so he had done a little sketch on his ink blotter of me, myself, looking very sad with a little rain cloud raining down on me. So that was pretty amazing, and I want to thank him. And and I'm sure you kind of felt the same way, Evangelist. It's like amazing that this dude, who is actually part of what we're fans of, is even bothers to take the time to do a quick little sketch on the corner of his ink blotter. It's really cool. And I just want to thank him on the show for that. And then playing off of that, a TFW member.
I know the order of the letters.
Yeah, I just realized I wasn't prepared, and I'm like, where's his name?
BMGFX?
BMGFX. He used to be called Unicron, and it was so much simpler than that. he then took it, he colored it in, he did an altered version where he had my eyes open, and he gave me cool little round, pupil-less, Evan Dorkin-style eyes, which was neat. And then, based on a tweet that I just jokingly quoted the incredible Mr. Limpet film, I Wish I Was a Fish, he did a fish head version, which is now the wallpaper on my iPhone. So, everyone's having a lot of fun with that drawing that makes me look so sad and miserable.
There's even a better version out today that's still a work in progress of you in the background of a hockey rink.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I like the theory we had going on that the rain cloud was Buzzbeak and that the actual person was Seth Buzzard. So it was like the remnants of the old username.
That wasn't just a theory. Derek Wyatt named the cloud Buzzbeak. He asked people what should its name be, and people came up with some weird names. And I might be wrong. But yeah, because Derek, it was actually a reply to me. He said, "Can I call it Buzzbeak?" And I said, "Sure, I can. You call it whatever you want, dude."
Yeah, Derek is a cool guy. I hope I can get him to his Canadian hot dogs when he's at TFCon.
Well, I told him that I was going to bring it up on the show, and he's like, "Oh God, please no shout outs after after my humorous shout out about him the other time." I said, "No, don't worry, I'm going to be nice. Let everybody know about your Jamaica trips."
All I'm going to say is, like, you know, I would give him a piggyback ride to the hot dog stand, but it is a 30-minute streetcar ride, and the streetcars have chairs. So if we do it, you know, I don't got the back for it. I got a fencer's back. My back is meant to take the impact of a lunge, not carry people. But, you know, I can see what we can do.
Well, I want to bring him a jar of olives, too.
Gog, have you got a picture pick?
Yeah, I don't think you guys talked about it last week. Nope, you couldn't have because it was posted since then. The world's smallest Transformers custom shockwave with the hand.
We did not bring it up. No.
Yeah, that you saw that, right?
Yeah, that looks really cool.
Yeah, yeah. I wish I could see pictures of it in robot mode, but that looks pretty spiffy.
So that's like a G1 combiner hand designed to hold it, right?
Yep, it's designed to go with Generation 1 Bruticus.
Instead,
it'll also fit
Menasor, maybe.
Well, probably anyone if it's a Scramble City Fisk, but I'm assuming they're going to paint it for Bruticus.
Yeah, it's made for Bruticus, but yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
It's a great touch, and I like Justy Toys a lot. And I felt kind of like they got, like they had a cool thing going on with the Dinobots. And when they finished them off, I was like, wow, like what are you guys going to do next? And I was afraid they were going to fade.
The Dinobots over and over.
Yeah,
and over.
We'll do them in 15 different colors.
Santa Commander, that's still my favorite one.
But. Well, and then release all of them in black, and then some of the ones in black are clear.
Mm-hmm. But my only problem with the official WSTs by Takara were they were so small, and then the Justit toys, they kind of took the name, but they're like a lot bigger.
Yeah,
and so that bodes hopefully bodes well. I hope this little Shockwave follows in the same footsteps as the Dinobots. He's a little bit bigger, because if he's only an inch and a half tall, I'd rather him be like a good 2.5 like the Dinobots were.
And I'm sure there's probably also going to be some kind of diecast content, because Justit Toys seems to be the garage company who have access to the ability to cut molds for diecast, going by the Dinobots and their Masterpiece Megatron upgrade kit. You know, actually, the thing I was going to pick is kind of the complete opposite of that Shockwave. It's possibly the biggest Transformer on the market right now. His name is Arch, a transforming bridge from Pittsburgh. An art student, I believe. Or a couple art students worked on this. I didn't read the whole article, but I believe it's headed by a fellow named Glenn Kano, or Kino. And Arch was constructed to honor the 250th anniversary of Pittsburgh. So it's a robot built out of bridges. It looks like basically a whole bunch of bridges turned into a robot. And I think it looks really cool. Big yellow bridge robot, and the guy who built him looks extremely proud. So I thought this was wicked, because I love these kind of giant public visual art things, and I'm really impressed that the guy got all the backing to do it, because it's admittedly a hard thing to say, hey, I want to build like a big Transformer, and then you got to tell the guys, they're like, well, what does that represent? And I believe one of the things that they did, according to the article on it, was they had Arch represent, you know, bridges between past, present, and future, and between people, and everything like that. So I thought that was cool. I was impressed. I know this kind of thing can get passed over pretty quick, also because none of us can really own Arch, seeing how he's an enormous art project that's about 15 people tall. But yeah, it impressed me a lot. So, grats to Glenn. Just moving on, got a little PSA, public service announcement. Those of you who are thinking of skipping Wolverine Origins, but who also want to see a new Revenge of the Fallen trailer, guess what you're going to go see? You're going to go see Wolverine Origins. Because there's a new trailer attached. Steven Spielberg says it's awesome. I admit, I take Steven Spielberg's word with a little bit of a grain of salt, seeing how he's a big producer dude who probably really enjoys anything that he's put out. But I'm hoping it's going to be a lot different from what we've seen. And also, those of you who have been thinking of skipping Wolverine Origins, I'm not going to spoil anything, because I did watch that work print that everyone knows leaked out, and that isn't representative of the final project. But I will say, the work print of Origins, I actually thought it was a fairly decent movie if you entirely ignore Deadpool. Not even as a Deadpool homage, but the entire part of the plot that revolved around Deadpool. Without that, the movie was actually fairly solid, and I heard the reshoots might have enhanced that part, or at least made it more to my liking. So, honestly, I'd say check out Wolverine Origins. It's a million times better than Brett Ratner. Oh, I dropped it! Dropped it because Drew's not here.
Brett Ratner, bitches!
That's right, Drew. So, are either of you guys thinking of checking out Origins at all, or has the trailer spurred either of you to check it out, or...?
No. If anything, the trailers and commercials I've seen are only confirming my dread.
I mean the Revenge of the Fallen one being plugged on the front.
Yeah, well, that video is also going to be in high resolution for download within a day or two.
But you get to see it like, a day early.
Yeah, I'll be alright. It'll be cheaper to wait and just watch it on the internet.
Gog, what about you? Are you thinking of checking out Origins?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm just like everybody else. Ever since X3, it kind of popped my X-Men theater bubble, but I do have a lovely friend that lives an hour from me who every other day keeps sending me emails saying, hey, we're going to go see it, right? So a bunch of us are going to go, and I kind of already said, sure, fine, stop
you're,
emailing
you're not going to regret it, I don't think. I mean...
Like, no, I don't. I mean, if you're saying it's better than X3, then okay.
Those of you who wanted to see the trailer and perhaps didn't want to see this movie, I can tell you it's not going to be a painful experience. It might just hurt a little bit down there in your Deadpool area. moving on to something that actually didn't hurt but made me feel peppy was the BotCon Wings of Honor comic preview, because it seems I was actually kind of right, apparently, according to lots of people. Actually, guys, I wasn't all that right, because I thought Scourge was going to be in the flashback, and Scourge isn't. Scourge is actually in the present day, and it's just that they've updated him and Cyclonus to the universe, or at least the BotCon toy and the universe designs. But yeah, it looks like it is Cup telling a story. Apparently it's in an unspecified 86 movieverse style continuity that's not really attached to anything. And it looks interesting. I don't know who the bad guys are going to be or how they'll relate to anything, but it's nice to see that it's not going to be like Scourge in Cup's past. Did either of you guys check out the comic preview?
Yeah. I was just reading it before we started, actually. At first I was kind of put off how Scourge, Cyclonus, and the Sweeps were modern, and Cup and the Dinobots were 86 style, and then I realized I didn't really care enough to get too concerned with it. But, you know, it's okay. I mean, it's just the first 5 pages, and it's just starting the story, so mm-hmm. It didn't really seem like they had gotten anywhere interesting with it yet, but I'm sure the full story will be quite interesting and fun.
And I actually wanted to throw in, now that I see what they mean by it, I actually do really like using the word, or the name, 8-track as Cup's old posting, the old ship he worked on. Gog, did you check out the comic at all?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. The last year's BotCon comic was the Shattered Glass comic, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I enjoyed that comic. I the comics, even though they're not really an ongoing thing, they're I like them. They're they're little random elements of fiction just pulled from wherever, and it I think it's neat. The whole Cup telling the story thing. Whoever thought of that, regardless of what you think about the BotCon toys and everything else, I think that as a foundation for a theme, maybe not necessarily the 25th anniversary theme, but just a theme in general, is I think that's a good place to start.
I agree.
The thing, just like you said, you know, who are the enemies going to be? I mean, weren't we kind of led to believe up to before the toys were announced or even the characters, was like the whole like one lone Autobot?
Yeah, but then they kind of got changed to one young Autobot, so it was like, maybe it's...
But even so, I mean, like, one young Autobot, it just makes it sound like it's, like, one guy against all these enemies, and you're going to have, like, a ton of Decepticon toys, and...
Like, so far we've seen like a whole bunch of Autobots.
Yeah, so, I mean, isn't Scourge the only Decepticon?
He's the only one in the pre-reg box, yeah.
Right, yeah, so...
And he's in the wrong era, then, for the pre-reg box, because apparently he's in a box with people who have never met him.
So yeah, so
I remain a little confused.
Kind of humorous, but yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean the comic looks cool. I'm sure that I will enjoy it thoroughly.
Oh, the comics actually the Shattered Glass one I think was a real turning point for the BotCon comics, cuz that's where they kind of went from just like, well, this explains the toys, to like, well, this is actually vaguely engaging. I know the Shattered Glass one actually got a lot of people that I talked to saying that they didn't like the toys or the idea, but the comic actually rubbed them the right way, pretty much all the way through. One idea for an enemy that might be in this would be the next bit of BotCon news I wanted to drop, which is that thanks to a Chinese auction site, not eBay this time, or TF08, we've got to see potentially another BotCon toy. And this would be the Razor Claw redeco of, hopefully, Leo Prime from Universe, who used to be Leo Breaker. But the Leo Prime head would be perfect for this. And the reason why I'm so excited is, one or two BotCons ago, someone, I think it was Pete Sinclair, commissioned a full custom Predacon team, which included, basically, this toy. And a whole bunch of, I think this was 2006, and a whole bunch of us were just like, wow, you guys gotta make these! And they're like, maybe... So, seeing this as a potential exclusive for this year excites me, but it also kind of lends credence to the idea of this year being the year of, what were all the exclusive ideas we had that we haven't used yet? So it's like, we're going to have Thunderclash, and Cup, and Scourge, and Razorclaw, and Liozak, and Skyquake! So, I'm not
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, but especially since this guy has, like, the Predacon logos on him, it's like, where does that fit in with this story?
Gog, what do you think of Razor Claw?
I usually, for all the BotCon toys, even the ones that I was kind of iffy about, I've remained optimistic of at least seeing them in hand before I make a final decision. I hate this mold. I do not like it. For all you people out there that were looking at the customs that were commissioned and all that stuff who were enjoying it, I'm happy that you guys will enjoy this and like it and put it on your shelf. And you know, I'm not. That's all I'm going to say about it. Other than I mean, for a set that's so iffy, you want like one of the attendee figures to just be awesome and just be like, okay, well, at least I'm going to get something that I want. This mold is just not good. It's not good at all. The only reason why this mold even was made and has any use is the fact that it combines with, you know, the two Cybertron leader figures, you know, Prime and Megatron. And, you know, outside of that gimmick, I think this figure is worthless.
Well, the upside of
I don't like it.
The upside of this one means now you can double it up for real. You can have the Cybertron leaders, Prime can have Leo Prime and Leo Breaker. And Megatron or Galvatron can have Shadow Leo Breaker or whatever, Nemesis Breaker, and Razor Claw, who's just going to kind of show up along with Leo Prime. But Seth, what do you think about this?
Yeah, I didn't even get the original, any of the previous releases of this mold. It's just, I didn't get any of the leader Cybertron figures, so there was really no reason for me to ever get it. I don't hate it. I'm not as emotional about it as Gog is. but it's just not interesting to me really in any way. It's like, oh, there's another BotCon figure I don't care about. It's kind of too bad because here you have a situation like BotCon where they have this huge group of exclusive figures that, to my eye at least, and for me personally, are all mediocre molds at best. Like, none of the molds are anything that I'm really, really interested in. And even the ones that I do already have, they're really low on my list of cool figures. And then you have, like, TFCon that only has one exclusive, and it's super rad. And it's like, so maybe FanPub could consider the balance of quality and quantity for the future. I don't know.
Yeah, the only thing I was going to say is, again, though, it's another exclusive figure on top of everything that Seth said, which is 100% accurate. And it's still, it's another figure that's currently in the mold is in stores right now,
yes.
You know, just like the Flak. It's like this was just released within the last couple months as Leo Prime. It's, gosh, give us something we haven't seen in a while or something that hasn't been repainted yet.
Yeah, so. I think my main bias is that I was one of the guys who saw it at 06 and was just like, I want it now. So I'm kind of like, yay. But I do have a lot of kind of soft hits in this one. It's mostly like, it's toys I had completely forgotten about that when offered them again, there's a couple of them where I'm like, oh, I did like that toy. That'd be neat. But it's nothing that really makes me go leaping out of my seat. Although, there's a great thread on 2005, I believe started by Lamatron, of Photoshops of, you know, an alternate set under the same kind of restrictions. And he did the most simple thing that I think would have made this set perfect, which was making Thunderclash out of Energon Landmine, that being Landshark. Make that Thunderclash! That would have been awesome! But they didn't. So, that sucks. I'm not like upset, but you know, having seen that, I was like, wow, that would have been so much cooler.
One quick question before we move on: what would be their ability to bring in figures from like the Japanese lines that never saw any release over here?
Because 3H has done it.
Have they?
Yeah,
okay.
The Tigatron was that Ravage that they made out of Transmetal Cheetor.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I wish that they would have at least done that for a couple figures here, just because it just seems like they just ran out of mold ideas. I mean, to the point where they're giving us stuff that's still in the store now with just a different paint job. I mean, mm-hmm. Granted, that can work, i.e. 2007, you know, but yeah. But in this case, I don't know. I'm just a little disappointed that there's just not I don't know. Again, it's just a personal beef because, you know, most of these molds I already have. And
I know where you're coming from there. It's kind of like, so, you know, there's nothing here that's making me go, like, I'm so happy I'm getting
this. Yeah, it's like, give us something from, like, you know, like one of the Japanese lines or something. Amazing. Japanese Beast Wars or something. So,
yeah, like I said before, this one really feels kind of like, what are all the ideas we had that we could have done that we nixed? Let's put them together and then throw in Land Shark.
Yeah, when you compare this group to, like, the 07 group, where in the box set you had the three Seekers that weren't going to be coming out. In the souvenir figures, you had, like, the first ever version of Alpha Trion, even though it was just a repaint. At least it was something to represent Alpha Trion.
Yeah, and
you had a very nicely done repaints to make Springer and Huffer that were just very, the colors were just really nice. And those ended up being two of my favorite figures from that whole year, just because they did such a good job. And it seems like that group was so great compared to this group, which just seems mediocre. And they just reach into a bag and pulled out a bunch of figures and came up with color schemes.
To even be fair and say that 2007 was the freak year of awesomeness, 2008 just at least felt more cohesive to me. Even with that story idea of what's going on, it's just that this year's set, as much as I like some of the toys, feels totally scattered. I don't feel like these guys stand together on a shelf like a lot of the previous Balkon sets do.
At least Shattered Glass is an interesting concept.
Yeah.
I love the concept, and even some of the toys I wasn't necessarily hot on, is an entire set, looking back, it's like, you know, I almost wish I would have picked it up, because I really dug what they did last year.
Yeah, like, referencing my YouTube video review, Shattered Glass is the set where if you have, like, one or two of the toys, it's like, meh. But if you have all the toys, it's like, wow, I actually have, like, this whole little alternate universe pair of armies now. This is cool. So, yeah, I don't know. Let's move on. Let's go into a quick intermission, and then let's talk about things we got, because I got a piece of paper that's awesome.
All right, this is Spock Screen Test Audition 1. Kirk will be read in. Follow his lead.
He's with me.
What's traveling at warp speed? How did you manage to beam aboard this ship?
You're the genius. You figure it out.
As acting captain of this vessel, I order you to answer the question.
Well, I'm not telling, acting captain. What now? That doesn't...
Wait, this is illogical. I'm supposed to just stare at him while he disobeys my direct order?
It's a tense moment, Shockwave. Just follow the script.
I am playing a logical alien being. The logical action is to put a photon to his cerebral cortex to keep my other subordinates in line.
Look, the only reason you're getting this audition is the makeup budget we'll save on pointy ears. You know how hard it is to find actors that already have them?
Negative, human! You are giving me this audition because Nimoy's cousin-in-law, Michael Bay, snubbed me! I was in charge of Cybertron for 4 million years, but that suck-up Soundwave gets a role. I've already played a satellite. Oh. Okay, I was credited as Shock Blast, but my career would have been over, and I was already attached to that project at this point, and I needed the money! But my point stands!
For starters, we already overlooked your inability to do the Vulcan hand sign on your left side.
A lot of people can't do it on the left side.
Those people don't have a gun for a hand. That, and I know your current gig got canceled, and there's still a dispute over what happened to that blue co-star of yours. He still hasn't been found. So, what's it gonna be?
So, just stare at him. Okay, I'm good at that.
Excellent intermission, boys! Very good, I liked that one a lot!
Thank you, British Dryden. We're going to tell you about what we got this week. And I'm going to go last. So, eeny, meeny, miny. Seth!
Yep.
Did you get anything this week?
Yeah, I got some animated figures. I got Samurai Prowl. The little tabs on the sidecar that slot into the little slots on the inside of his wings, at least on mine, don't hold. They pop out.
They click on mine. Wait, wasn't there something
I meant to bring this up because I was the first one that said it, that the armor doesn't clip on, and then Kickback in the same episode said the same thing. Then the following episode, Omega said the same thing. The armor mysteriously clips. I don't know where. It's actually on the body, like below the wings. If you line everything up and just give it a good push, it click. It gives feedback. Somebody corrected me in the thread, and I meant to give them a little shout-out / thank you for showing me that, and I completely forgot. So I'll look it up afterwards and record a little clip, and then hopefully Evangelist will put it at the end. So
if you want to know where they clip in, it's basically around about the pin of that hinge on the motorbike engine that forms his waist. It's somewhere down around there where the black booster parts clip in place. Yeah, I got the click on the first try, I think, just because I thought I was supposed to shove it in. But there is a click in there.
I think the tabs on the wings are just there to kind of line it up.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you line everything up and just give it a good push to the body, it'll snap in.
Yeah, because I was going to continue to say that, despite that, by the time I got like the shoulders and wrapped around and the helmet on it, it's on there pretty good. I mean, it's not locked on, totally solid. There's a little wiggle room to it, but it's not falling off just standing there. So that's all right with me. Then I'm torn between this Prowl and the first Prowl. Like, I kind of like the colors better on this one, but the head without the helmet is really tiny, really skinny. And then it almost disappears under the helmet, which is unfortunately attached to that big arm that just kind of throws it all off a little bit. And the legs at the hip are a little loose on the one I ended up with. I don't know if that's a problem for everybody, but it's a problem for me. And I got Waspinator cruising on. Let me grab him here so I could look at him while I'm talking. Robot mode's pretty good. Kind of like them. Wasp mode is meh at best. The transformation is so simplistic on this guy too. It really doesn't seem like there's much going on with him. But that's kind of also the problem with most Beast figures, in my opinion. The whole stand the animal up and now it's a robot.
Yeah.
Like, stand up the kitty, stand up the rhino, stand up the... And then it's, like, even worse with, like, Optimus Primal, where it's, like, he's still just kind of a gorilla, but you flipped his feet around the other way or something.
You expose the robotic underbelly.
Yeah, his arms become legs and his legs become arms magically.
All right. But Wasp is okay. And Rekgar. The Rekgar.
Yay!
So, if you love the character, definitely get the toy. If you are indifferent about the character and you like Transformers with interesting, cool transformations, you could probably skip them again. At least to me, his transformation seems kind of simple. Not that that's a bad thing, but if you're not a fan of the character, you're not going to be won over by his transformation, in my opinion. And I just really wish, once he has this big, empty box on his back, there was some way you could get those forks tucked in or folded up somehow so they're not just sticking straight out his back or straight down to his feet.
Or at least some way you could do it without, like, removing them.
Yeah.
Like, you can always just, like, yank them off and stick them in his backpack. But
yeah, but, you know, Rekgar has always been a fun character going back to G1, and I grew up on Weird Al Yankovic, so it had to happen when it came out. And then the last thing, Sunstorm. But not animated Sunstorm.
Oh, I was going to say.
That's a twist.
The E-Hobby G1 style Sunstorm.
Nice.
Which I missed out the first time around. I passed on it, and then very quickly started regretting it because I had like every other color scheme of G1 Starscream, pretty much. So I have, just in G1, running it down real quick, I have, and these are all reissues, these aren't vintages. So I have the first Japanese reissue where he's like his original colors, the cartoon accurate reissue, Thundercracker, Skywarp, Ramjet, Dirge, Thrust, the G2, Starscream, and is it Ramjet?
No, it's Dirge. It's G2.
Dirge, that's right.
I don't know. Well, I don't know.
And a Jet Robo F-16 pre-Transformer kind of Starscream. So not having Sunstorm was always like the glaring omission in my Seeker army, and now that's been settled and rectified. So
excellent.
Caught
Congratulations,
up.
Sir.
Thank you.
Gog, what did you get this week, if anything?
I got some little trinkets, nothing really much to mention. I got a couple of my clones that nobody cares about. But big deal, I got Mighty Mug Starscream.
Yeah, huge deal, because you've found the physical manifestation of your muse, and his name is Mighty Mug Starscream. So ever since you got him, you've taken like 5 million pictures, 3 or 4 videos. Videos which, by the way, are incredible.
Yeah, I have no idea what my fascination with this character was, but I had no interest in Mighty Mugs at all until I saw the Starscream, and it really piqued my interest. I just love the facial expression. I just love the wings sticking out the back. I don't know, but I seriously just cannot put it down. I've just been taking picture after picture on my Flickr and making wacky videos on YouTube, and it really sparked something in my head. Just it's actually been getting me out of my house or out of my apartment and like outside to actually film stuff. It's weird.
Seriously, but guys, if you haven't seen them, check out Gog's videos, Flight of Starscream. Check out Starscream Reviews. It's 4 videos, not much of your time, and they're really cool. And check the chapter picture for this one, because I'm going to stick in a picture called Journey or The Road Ahead or something like that of Starscream.
No, actually, I got a different one that you can use.
Oh, you got another one?
Yeah.
See,
but
I got to give you props, because you've taken what is essentially one of the most boring things I've ever seen and made it like the most epically like delightful thing I've seen in a while.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no real clue what my fascination with this guy is, but I don't know. I love it. It's great. It probably has something to do with my, you know, strange love for Starscream as it is, but it's just, I don't know, it's just great. Even the other Transformers ones I'm kind of mad about. I also got Grimlock. He's okay. He has a spiffy little paint scheme. He's got the little dino head painted on his back. He's neat, but I don't know. Just something about the Starscream, I just...
Okay, yeah, the chapter picture, everyone look at it, because it's going to be incredible. I'm just going to say that right now.
Well, with those pictures you've been taking with it outside... Like, I've almost had to do a double take on them, because just the way the Mighty Mug is painted, like, the way the shading is, and just how well the Mighty Mugs are painted, it almost looks like you photoshopped it in, because it looks like it doesn't fit in the real world.
I know, because I know, it's insane, I don't know.
You should attach a tree to it, and like a dilemma.
No, see, you actually kind of I was actually thinking about showing up at BotCon like that.
Oh.
No joke, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Well, Vangelis could put an Ido 11 over that, and everyone will just wonder what I said.
Put it on a what?
No, yeah, seriously, Ido 11 that out, because I want that to show up on video I don't want to be spoiled.
I just think it's amazing, because it's like you found the kind of the physical toy muse that I found in Action Master Omega Supreme. In this, otherwise unloved piece of plastic, or at least not heavily loved piece of plastic that just calls to you.
Oh, I wouldn't say Supreme is unloved, because I saw one on eBay and I was watching it, and it was really cheap up until the last day, and it shot like almost over $100, and I was like, yeah, I don't love it that much.
Well, those guys, they don't love Supreme. They want the Action Master Elites. They don't want it for the sake of Supreme. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Sorry if you want it, and I have just made a massive, like, you know, listener out there, if you want it, and I've just made a massive character judgment about you, but I'm kind of assuming.
But, yeah, just one last thing, too. Big shout-out to TFW member and WTF listener Optimus Scourge. He actually knew that I was looking for one of these, and that I hadn't been able to find them for the longest time after they'd been sighted for several weeks. And he actually picked one up for me and was just going to ship it to me at cost. So I went ahead and still bought it for him, or from him. So I have I'll have an extra one on the way. But I appreciate that. That was very nice of Mr. Optimus Scourge.
Optimus Scourge is a great man. Who hopefully through some turn of fate will show up at TFCon with Lupus Convoy. Now I got something today, and I'm going to open it on the air with this knife that I just clicked open. I got an envelope from Fun Publications. It says "Paid in Full" on the front.
Oh, I got one of those.
Let's take a look at this blue piece of. Wow. Okay, so you know how they glue the envelope shut, right? With that envelope glue? They managed to glue my blue piece of paper to the inside of the envelope. That's pretty spectacular.
The same thing happened to me. I had to completely disassemble the envelope at every seam in order to get the thing out.
Oh my god. Okay, grats, guys. You've officially made it hard to open an envelope. Okay, now there's a hole in my blue piece of paper, but aside from that... yes, I'm a blue sheet. I got a blue piece of highlighter. I have the Primus Package Pasadena and the Party at Paramount. So, there we go. Ooh! And I'm going to be able to pick up my package, on Thursday. Awesome. All right, that's all I got this week.
It says, starting at 7.
Yeah.
For the pickup. Has it always been that late?
Usually, yeah. I think maybe it was 6 before, but...
Huh.
I might be missing. Yeah. I mean, there's people who remember this stuff better than I do. But
yeah, I couldn't remember what it was in 07, and I was concerned with what my travel plans are going to be on Thursday getting down there. That maybe the pickup would be over by the time I got down there. But if it isn't starting till 7, I'm going to be okay.
Oh, actually, it's oh no, blue sheet is at 7 because they do it by. They're probably going to do another color at 6 because it says the package pickup is actually 6 till 10.
Oh yeah, I remember that there was that thing with the different color pages, colors, and people trying to get in line,
and
anyway.
Then letter names, and me and Bima always get in because we're H's, because H for life for the win. Anyway, that's what I got. Unicron.com got something too. They got the second half of their interview with Derek J. Wyatt up. Derek J. Wyatt is this guy
Never
on Twitter.
Heard of him.
He draws pictures sometimes.
It's Never heard of him.
I don't know. Someday I'm hoping to have a hot dog dinner with him.
Does he like olives?
Maybe. I don't know. I heard that the guy's into GoBots. But he did an interview. Now, admittedly, a lot of these questions ended up kind of being the kind of questions where you can only really answer, well, that's a cool question, let's move on. But he did this part of the interview, I believe, right after they finished doing sound and effects for the Waspinator episode, Predacons Rising. The big part of this interview is that there's a lot of really cool still pictures, like standalone pictures to look at, namely like model sheets that aren't in a big collage, like Botanica, and also a lot of the busts from Five Servos of Doom that have been colored in by Mr. DJW. Like Heavy Load, which is the series big RID reference, and Springer, who apparently is not going to really appear outside of this bust. But we also get some cool sketches, like a sketch of Stryker, and possibly the most badass and gothic, almost Tim Burton-y sketch of Oil Slick that I've ever seen, which really got me going. And the other big thing about this is he reveals the rest of the episode names that are to come up. So, SPOILER ALERT! We're about to see Human Error, Part 1. On Saturday, there'll be a part 2. Then there'll be 4 episodes after that. So there you go. Now, the big reveal, I think, here was that one of the penultimate episodes is going to be This Is Why I Hate Machines. So a lot of the fan zone groupies have been excited. Because, you know, he's got a huge following out there on the web. And I'm happy for him for that. So, did you guys check out this interview at all? Or, GOG?
I glanced over it. Somehow I missed. Oh. I missed the front.
It wasn't really too heavy outside of the episode titles.
Yeah. I went through it real quick. You know, Derek seems like a pleasant guy to interview. I did get a really big kick out of the This Is Why I Hate Machines episode. Granted, it's almost guaranteed to contain fan zone, but seeing as it's also the final episode before the final two-parter. I'm hoping that there's something,
something cool.
that's an understatement. The title.
Yeah, me too. I'm thinking it's going to be something that kind of surprises us. Maybe it'll have, like, a running subplot, like, Where is Thy Sting? You know, how that one kind of ended on the most unexpected, oh my god, of the whole season. Seth, did you check this out at all?
Not really, honestly. I can't lie and say that I did. And not because I intentionally avoided it or anything.
I just interview for this guy.
Yeah. Screw that. I can't. Somebody read it to me. I'm busy.
I'm busy over here. I'm eating some Cheetos. I don't need this.
Yeah. But I have actually been kind of busy this week. It's been a little hectic around here. So it's just one of those things that fell through the cracks. Like, there's no malicious boycotting of it or anything. But just on that, This Is Why I Hate Machines episode, I'm guessing maybe that's going to be like just wrapping up all the human characters, maybe, before the big final robot showdown. Just like, okay, get all these guys done and kind of a thing. So I don't know. I'm sure it will be entertaining.
Yep. And then after that, we're going to have Endgame Part 1 and 2, which is a neat little Beast Machines throwback. Perhaps not intentional, but it's a great name for the end of the season, or in this case, perhaps series. So I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully we won't have any more episode leaks so that this isn't all over before I go to BotCon. although it's going to be pulling kind of tight, because, see, next week, it's going to, doesn't this end, like, right after BotCon?
I don't know. Like that. Either. I haven't really looked at dates or anything.
Well, basically, one leak, and we're going to be done animated before we get to BotCon, so please don't happen. I guess that can take us into the spoiler section. Let's hit that spoiler disclaimer guy, because he's got mouths to feed.
This is the spoiler section. If your future viewing experience of Transformers Revenge of the Fallen will be decimated by spoilers, turn back now. There is no hope. This is the spoiler section.
We're in the spoiler section, and I have a really excellent thing that almost wasn't going to be in here, but since some people find video games to be the same as movies, I thought I'd put it in here. We just got some really awesome first-hand details of the Revenge of the Fallen game. TFW 2005 was given a special preview, apparently, a press event held by Activision in New York City. Now, there's a whole bunch of info, and you can all check it out in the thread, and I'm not going to reiterate it all because it's like 15 million pages long, but there's one thing I really have to point out as my joygasm, and that is that it seems, according to what I'm reading here, that transformation is not only going to be something you can do while in mid-jump, but it's going to actually be dynamic! And that makes me so happy, because the big problem with the original game was that transformation was actually a hindrance. So I'm very happy about that. Even if the game sucks, if I can at least jump and transform, I'm going to really enjoy it for at least a week. So that's really all I have to say about, like, all the other stuff in here. It's all cool. It's video game stuff. I'll know it when I play it. If I can jump and transform, I'll be so very happy, and it'll be on par with a Nintendo DS game. Anyway, that's all I really have to drop about it. I'm sure you guys have more to say, so I'll go to you now. Seth!
Yeah. I play video games a lot. I'm going to lay that down right now.
This is sucka.
And I play a lot of games. Different genres, different sites. I have a stack of games waiting for me to get to, and I'm grinding through them. For a game to get into the mix, it has to be of some sort of quality or have real easy Xbox Live achievements. So I don't expect this to be a good game, but if the achievements are gettable and attainable, I will grind through it anyway. That wasn't so much the case with the first Transformer game. I started playing it. I couldn't stand it. Not only was not being able to transform while you're jumping a hindrance, the controls were a hindrance, the graphics were a hindrance.
Playing as Starscream was a hindrance.
Yeah, it was just a bad time. I couldn't do it. I went through the achievements. I'm like, okay, well, how many achievements could I possibly get if I just grind through the story and I don't try to do all their attempt to pad it out with all these crazy little challenges, like do laps and jumps and all that junk. And it wasn't worth it. So I took it back and got a bunch of money when I traded it. So just make the achievements easy to get. I'll grind through your crappy game.
Gog, how about you? Thinking of trying this one out?
I'm gonna wait and see. I'm not gonna drop the money on it without knowing first. I'm gonna listen to some reviews, listen to what the other board members say. I mean, it wasn't in the first game, didn't you have to actually like land on the ground in order to transform?
You had to land on the ground, and you had an invisible ceiling that you would scrape against, I believe. But don't hold me to that part.
Yeah, so, I mean, first impression from reading this, what Tony B posted, just reading it in text does make me excited. But like everyone else feels with the first game, I mean, most people feel burned.
Yeah, I think everyone with feels
that.
Burned.
Exactly. That far. So I'm keeping a cautious eye on it. I'm not writing it off yet. If the majority of opinions say that, yeah, it's a lot better of a game than the first one, then I'll pick it up. And, it looks like they're making was there a PC version of the first one?
There was, but apparently it was actually somehow worse than the, Xbox one.
Okay. Because my roommate has a PS3 and, I played some of the first game on his and kind of, lost interest early on. If this one turns out to be good, I'll probably pick up the PC version because I got a pretty decent gaming machine. So, mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm like Buzz. I don't know if I play as many games as him lately because on top of being being employed full time, I'm also currently going to night school full time. So I don't have as much time lately to play games as I'd like. But before school started up in full swing, I do spend a lot of time gaming as well. So. About the time this comes out will be about the time that I graduate. So, yeah, maybe we'll check it out. We'll see. But, yeah, it's going to be based entirely on player reviews of how I feel about it.
Same here. I'd love to early adopt, but after the first movie game, and I'm someone who buys games, you know, kind of wantonly and only recently stopped in order to save money. It just was such a blow, especially considering, and I'm always going to say it, how good the DS games were. I just don't know what happened. The DS games were just so nice.
Yeah. I bought the Decepticon version of the DS one, and that was fun.
I made the mistake. I played the DS ones first and thought that, wow, if this is what the DS does, imagine what the big one's going to be like. And there we go. So, sorry, Activision. I don't mean any offense. I'm sure this game is better than the first one. I'm sure I'll pick it up at some point. But I really got to hear from more people this time. Hopefully all your hype is going to work out, and hopefully the multiplayer is solid, etc., etc.
There's also
you play
something.
The PSP one.
We don't talk about the PSP one.
Oh,
I played that.
I actually
day.
Did.
I played it.
I
through.
Did. I grind that one through.
Yeah, me too.
Just because it was something I could play on the bus.
Oh, God, that game is like even the ending was glitched on mine. There was no ending. I shot really? Starscream or Shockwave, whoever I was playing as, and then the game just ended and the credits rolled. And I was like, what?
Just since we've been recording, too, another little article popped up on the... for some reason, MTV keeps getting all these Transformers news, including the Transformers game news. I don't understand it, but there's a picture of Autobots fighting Demolisher, and there's, like, Bumblebee in car mode, like, circling around him, and he's freaking big. Do you see what I'm talking about?
Is it on the front?
Here, I'll link you. I'll link all you.
We'll edit this out so we sound smooth and awesome.
There.
Smooth criminal.
Oh! Okay, yeah, MTV just posted this new picture of Bumblebee fighting Demolisher, and oh my god, Demolisher's big. Okay, so the game is doing scale well. I'll give it that.
Devastator has been drinking his milk because he is a big boy.
Yeah, the game does Devastator as well as the Armada game did Tidal Wave. That's also going to be a big plus from me. Because the way that the Armada game did Tidal Wave remains one of my favorite Transformers video gaming aspects that needs to be topped somehow, since it's so old.
Or Demolisher. Were we just calling him Devastator?
Oh, it said both names in there. But it's Demolisher. Got the Doom Wheels.
Well, just if we say the wrong thing, we'll hear about it.
He's part of Devastator called... Oh, no, because he might be Scavenger
no,
if he's part
skirt.
Of Devastator.
Well, so they're, one of the questions that they had was, are you going to be able to play as the combined form of Devastator? And the whoever was answering the question is jumping around about it. They say that... So I don't know. It's not. It's kind of ambiguous as if you get to play as the full Devastator or not.
I think they're
jumping. They basically gave a no comment.
I think that would be a great mini game, but a very boring full game to play as Devastator, because it'd be like, what are we going to do in this mission? Okay, next mission. Okay. And it's given his size.
I don't know. You come home from work after a stressful day. I mean, there's it might be pretty stinking satisfying. I just want to destroy China.
Yeah, I want to be so Robot Godzilla and blow up Shanghai. Okay, here we go.
I want to swim to Hong Kong and take out some cruise ships.
All right. Well, props for the size on the Constructicons in the game, I guess. And that's what we're going to talk about next is a Constructicon toy. It said Voyager Mixmaster. He now has a head and full parts and good pictures. And you can see what he looks like. And he looks neat. He looks very bone crushery, and I like him. But I think the beige on him is a mistake. The beige sticks way out too much amidst all those other cold colors. Having a big warm beige just feels like unpainted plastic. And perhaps that's the case. Maybe it's going to be a different color on the final one. One would hope, because he's otherwise solid cold colors, and the beige just doesn't work. But I like his big spindly arms, and I like his chest. He's got a good chest. Kind of neat wheelie legs, so I'm into it. Gog, have you seen Mixmaster?
Yeah, I like him. I'm liking most of the Constructicons so far. The only one I'm kind of meh about still is the Demolisher toy. I love his render in the movie. I like the character. The toy is just kind of like to me. But yeah, I like I'm liking Mixmaster. I like his giant Decepticon logos
on the vehicle,
the drum, the tumbler. I don't know, I've always been a big fan of that, like, Decepticons that are supposed to be blending in, and then they're just kind of pimping their symbol, even to the point to where it looks like graphics.
Yeah, they're like what was the one, street. What's his name? Dropkick? The pickup truck.
Yeah, it had, like, the huge, like, angled...
Yeah, the enormous
off-center. Yeah, I never bought that figure, but I would always walk by it on the aisle and smile. I'm like, yeah. Oh, the irony, but it's, yeah, like you, though, that beige, man, it just, ugh.
This is wrong. It's too warm.
Yeah, I mean, I want to, I'm almost tempted to maybe wait and see what the repaint is going to be, but I am digging everything but that, so I will probably pick it up, I am thinking, maybe. We'll see what happens. I will report on it on a later date.
That's going to be my case, except I can tell you now that I will pick it up because I am a whore. Seth.
No, whores get paid. You're a slut.
That's right. I'm a slot flap. Oh! Seth, are you going to pick up that one at all, or do you like the look of it at all?
I don't know. One thing that I do like about it is with both Commander Doom Wheels and Flat Whips McCracken, they have very bone crusher looking faces. Mm-hmm. And I noticed very quickly that Mixmaster has a very different looking head. So, I thought, oh, well, that's cool. They're just not all going to have a similar face kind of a thing, which I was beginning to assume was going to be the Constructicon thing to be similar looking. There's some stuff about him that looks interesting. I kind of like his big, clawy, fingery arms. But it does look like there's just a lot of truck visible on him. It looks like just the cab of the truck is all up on his back. And I'm hoping those wheels are kind of mistransformed a little bit because they just seem to be hanging there. So I'll probably have to wait and see, like, official pictures of them before I really make up my mind about it. But right now he's a maybe.
And what a giant truck too! Especially
I like his chair.
His chair.
The cab of the truck basically is his ass. And it looks like he can just sit on it with the grill down.
Well, I just like how
he animated bulkhead.
He's totally thrown scale into the wind by not just being a giant truck, but being a giant truck amidst giant construction vehicles. It's kind of funny to me. I got to see more of him. Hopefully that beige will be toned to something a bit colder, but I guess we'll see. We got one last bit of news to drop, and that's that Michael Bay has done an interview, and he shared that his favorite Revenge of the Fallen character is Bumblebee, not the twins. There was some mistyping going on. It was easy mistake to make, though, because I made the same mistake when I read the thing. He did express that he does like the twins. Michael Bay is apparently very hot on the idea of two bumbling idiots who turn good, or do something good despite their idiocy, which I know makes Seth, you know, soar like a rainbow over a pot of golden coins.
Those words don't even make sense together. Here's words.
I was trying to just make like the most happiest image I could possibly imagine. You know, like flying like a something that flies over a rainbow, like a toucan. I don't know. I've lost this one.
A Pegasus.
He's flying like a Pegasus over
a majestic rainbow. Pegasus.
There was one thing in there I did like, which is that he dropped that Devastator is possibly the most complex 3D model that Industrial Light and Magic has made in 30 years, which fills me with glee. I like it when ILM gets props like that. Especially since we're probably going to see lots of Devastator, unlike ILM's once most complicated model, that being General Grievous, who was more or less entirely wasted in the film he was in.
Well, wasn't the Optimus Prime model like two or three times more complex than General Grievous was?
It did, yeah. The first Transformer movies did blow General Grievous out of his spot, which I was happy about. Because the first movie, I was happy that, like, you know, for all the blurry camera, the Transformers did stuff. It wasn't like Episode 3 of Star Wars where General Grievous had all of a fight scene. I just felt bad for ILM in that one.
Yeah, and I know ILM got really detailed and technical with the Iron Man model also, so I wonder where that ranks.
I'm sure that one's somewhere in there. I'm figuring because the Transformers have to be photorealistic, and there's lots of them, they probably pushed their way into a lot of the top spots.
Bottom line is ILM has a lot to be proud of.
ILM rocks, and I don't think they get enough credit, pretty much.
I got to actually go to ILM once. This was years ago when both Ghostbusters 2 and Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade were in production, so that gives you gives you a time frame of when I got to go there. And it's an amazing place, and it's not even there anymore. Where I went doesn't exist anymore. They moved the whole thing to the Presidio, but it's just an amazing place to be, because you see things happening. Like, I'm totally tangenting here, and it's my own fault, and I don't care. But in the Abyss, the water probe creature thing, we were taken into the computer lab where they were programming its movement for the movie. And there was a maquette of how they wanted it to look. And the dude was hella nice. He was just like, oh, check out what I'm doing. Like, yeah, we wrote all this software, and this is what it's doing. This is what it's going to look like. And he grabs the maquette down from the shelf. And I had no idea what it was going to be. And then, like, commercials come out for the movie. I'm like, oh my God, that was that thing. And it's just, I love ILM so much. They're just so great.
Yeah, just much love for them. And I always also want to pump them up, because I think they feel like they get left in the dust in a lot of the movies they work on, where it's like, we had help from ILM making my great movie. And it's like, they deserve 100%, not 100%, I guess, but, like, you know, they deserve a ton of credit for what they do. So, props. I mean, even if I don't like some of the designs they do, or I don't like how they pose the models, they do more work on those things than I think any of us can really say we could do at this point. So, much love. I guess I'll get some quick thoughts on you guys on that article. GOG?
I'm still holding out hope that that they're not bumpkins. the thing is I guess it still remains to be seen, like, because Bay, the last couple of weeks or months or within the last month, has just been letting his lips loose in a way. Yeah, he's just kind of smacking his gums and letting stuff slide, and it's kind of funny seeing Orsi reply. Because people ask Orsi questions regarding what Michael Bay said, and he's like, wait, he said what? And then Orsi just makes some comment basically along the lines of, oh, that silly Bay. And it makes you wonder if he's actually trying to misinformation, or if he's just, you know, to the point where he doesn't care, he's letting stuff slip. I mean, what he's saying about the twins, I mean, he says they're dumb, but here he kind of expands upon it a little bit. He's like, oh, they're just young, dumb, and irreverent. And I'm just really hoping that they're just kind of like a couple of, you know, just kind of young, immature Transformers that are just like a little too eager to please, and maybe a little too eager to jump headfirst into battle. Mm. I'm just hoping that they're not these bumpkins. Yep, I'm holding out hope. I want to like these guys. I think that they have potential, and I haven't written them off yet.
And I do like how often Bay uses the word irreverent. I like that word. Seth?
Yeah, I really don't want him to be like the hillbilly kind of hee-haw character either. But, I mean, like when you get like those buck teeth kind of in there, I mean, that's kind of really playing up that kind of stereotype. Yeah, and it just... And, like, that sort of characterization, it just seems so simple and, like, so basic. Like, it's easy to make, like, a southerner out to be, like, the hick dimwit. And it's just, I don't know, it's like, really? Are we still in a world where that's funny to make fun of the hillbilly? Like, I don't know. So I really hope it's not that. And I mean, it's going to be bad enough if they're any kind of stupid and bungling morons. But to then use that stereotype, just it's like taking it too far. So let them be dumb morons from Cambridge, Massachusetts, or something. And at least that will be different.
Cambridge, Massachusetts listeners, we do not take any responsibility for what has been said in this podcast. There you go.
Yeah, well, at least it would be different than just, you know, just...
Or have them sound really learned, but actually be complete incompetence.
Right.
Not just going, ba-do-do-do-do-do, and, like, trip over each other.
It's like, golly, Optimus! These car modes we got sure do have flashy city colors. That's a tall building. Just
that's
like
a
that
tall
stuff
building has to be in there somewhere.
Just like that stuff, it's like it's played out, it's tired.
They're totally gonna have a scene with Sam's dog that's gonna be like 20 minutes long of slapstick comedy.
Yeah, just that's falling over each other while Mojo hops around.
Sorry, we don't mean to ruin the film for you guys. We're at the tail end of the show, and it's all coming out. That is actually the end of the show. That's all our topics for today. What do you think about that, British Juriden?
Very good, below! Or did I just say below? Oh...
So, we'll be back with you again sometime. Gog, Seth, did you enjoy yourselves?
Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah, I did. Also, shout out to Secret Code. Thanks for giving the WTF at TFW forums its first. Appreciate that.
And thanks to ChaosBringer00 for telling me about it but pointing me at the wrong thread. So I spend about 2 minutes combing through the episode 37 thread looking for a horrifying image and wondering if you were somehow offended at a picture of a man with a whatever it is that was in someone's signature. That was an interesting evening. I was watching the game with Michael Douglas, so I missed most of that, and I got back very late to the party. And then Kickback dealt with it while I was trying to deal with it, which then terrored out my own attempt to deal with it. So that was my exciting night. I guess I'll just close off by reporting that one of the latest posts on Derek J. Wyatt's Twitter, at Seth Buzzard, is... No! Why? And with that, good night!
They're gonna get mad at you for yelling again.
Add all that up, I don't know what the f*** it means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.
You're the communications officer, ain't you? You're supposed to be able to communicate.